part of India between Bhutan and Bangladesh, just south of the Himalayas. It is known as the rainiest place in the world. We landed in Delhi and then flew to Guwahati in Assam, and from there we traveled by cars to the city of Shillong, which is the capital of Meghalaya. We spent a few days in Shillong before heading to the village. While we were staying in Shillong, we were very lucky to have a special meeting at our hotel with the grandsons of Hajam Kisar Singh, the Khasi man who brought Unitarianism to the Khasi Hills. In this photo is my mom and I with the rest of the people on the trip and the two grandsons of Hajam Kisar Singh, as well as Kloor, one of our main contacts in India, who set up this meeting. The grandsons told us about the history of Unitarianism in the region, and we talked about similarities and differences of Khasi Unitarianism and American UU beliefs and practices. They also explained how the indigenous religion there was already monotheistic, so it was easy for Unitarianism to take root there. He said some Khasi people have a mixture of beliefs and practices there. We were really lucky to have gotten to meet them, and we learned so much. I'm really glad we were able to have that conversation. There's also a picture of Hajam Kisar Singh. He was born in 1865 in Cherrapunji nearby, and he attended a Welsh missionary school. Like many UUs growing up, he ended up having some questions about the beliefs that he was exposed to. He disagreed with some of the Calvinist ideas he was taught, and he had ideas similar to Unitarianism, and someone recommended that he talk to a Unitarian minister in Calcutta. Then later he ended up corresponding by letter with Charles Dahl, an American Unitarian minister, who then sent him Unitarian literature. Singh established the first Unitarian church in the region in September 18th, 1887. Today, September 18th is celebrated as a holiday for the Khasi Unitarians, and it's a really big deal there. There are about 10,000 Khasi Unitarians today. So then after our stay in Shillong, we headed to the village. So on the way to the village, we saw a lot of cows on the side of the road and kids herding the cows. We also stopped at a Unitarian church in the neighboring area of Karong. There's me with some of the other people on our trip with the church, and there's a chalice on the roof. So next, here's a map of Mossendry. The main centers in their community are the church, the Kongbar School, and the Children's Village Orphanage, as well as the Rural Health Center. Yuman is partnered with the Mossendry Unitarian Church. The First Unitarian Church of Dallas is partnered with the Children's Village, and the First Unitarian Church of Pittsburgh is partnered with the Kongbar School. All of our partnerships are connected because the resources are all part of the same community. And it's only about a half mile between all these centers. It's a very small village. So here's a picture of our partner church, Mossendry Unitarian Church. Our group is here with everyone else in the congregation outside. This is after one of the Sunday services. So next, I wanted to take a minute to talk about Reverend Annie Margaret Barr, because I heard a lot about her from people on the trip. Her legacy is still very much felt and seen in the village today. Annie Margaret Barr was an English Unitarian minister who settled in the Khasi Hills in the 1950s. She devoted her life to projects related to education and healthcare in the village, as well as training future leaders of the village. Reverend Barr did some work in India in the 1930s and 40s and met Gandhi She made her first trip to the Khasi Hills in the 1930s, and then later settled there permanently in Karong with her Khasi daughter, who she had adopted. She started a school there and the Rural Health Center and ministered at the Karong Unitarian Church. Some of the older people in the village that I spoke to remember her, and some were students of hers. There are plaques around the village showing places that are dedicated in her memory, and the Kongbar School, which we visited later, has been named after her. Here's a bust of her at the health center. So a main event on our trip that was very special was attending the 10th anniversary celebration of the founding of the Children's Village Orphanage. Pretty much everyone in the community was there. There were local leaders there, this is Bari Mukim. She's our main contact with the partner church. She met us in Shillong when we first arrived and was with us the whole trip. She also came to Yumen a while back when she was in the U.S. speaking to different Unitarian churches. She's a very important leader in her community. So at the celebration, there was a stage constructed outside, and it started to rain just before the celebration started, but the rain really just added to the beauty of it. They quickly put up tents over the seating and the stage, and Bari started the celebration by thanking God for this rainy day. There's someone with a gunup, which is like an umbrella. But you don't need to hold anything, it just goes on your head. So they can do things hands-free while being protected from the rain. So a lot of people made speeches, including Reverend Katie Scudera, who was one of the original founders of the Children's Village. She recalled what it was like during the construction of the Children's Village and how much progress they've made since then. So there were also song and dance performances that the kids from the Children's Village and the school had prepared. Here are all the children and teens who live at the home singing a welcome song. And there are children performing a traditional Khasi dance with traditional music showing the harvest. Here are some girls who performed a hip-hop dance that was really good. I wish I could show the video. They were very talented. So after the celebration, there was a big luncheon, which was really good. There is Reverend Katie Scudera and me. We were very lucky on this trip because Katie was our leader. She was one of the original founders, and so she knows a lot of people there, and she's been back there many, many times, and she, you know, introduced us to everyone, and it was a very special experience to go with her as the leader, leading our group. So we wore our Khasi Jensum dresses, which we bought in Shillong, like I'm wearing here today. So at the luncheon, I met Bari's mother right there. Bari's parents knew Annie Margaret Barr and worked with her on many projects. Bari's mother was the midwife in the village. And Kluwer, Bari's brother, remembers Annie Margaret Barr as a teacher. Also, it's hard to see, but in the bowl there, that is betel nut. If you go on this trip, you'll see betel nut is everywhere. It's offered mostly after meals. It's like chewing tobacco. It's very common there. I didn't try it, but my mom did. Yeah. So then Bari gave us a tour of the children's village. There's a picture of me standing outside of the girls' dorm, and there's the boys' dorm. Some of the funds from Yumen have been set aside for expansion of the boys' dorm. There's also a picture looking up at the girls' dorm, where they have terraces with where they have vegetable gardens. There's part of the garden. So they teach the children agriculture and farming skills, and they grow fruits and vegetables there, which they eat. And there's the greenhouse that Bari is showing us, and there's a compost facility. They also raise pigs to sell, and so there's a picture of some baby pigs, and they have chickens also. So one of my favorite parts of being on the trip was staying with the host family. So this is the Minsong family who my mom and I stayed with one of the nights. They were very welcoming and nice to us, and we're so grateful to them for hosting us. We had a lot of fun there. This is in the back of that picture, that's Dada Full. She's the youngest of the 11 Minsong children, and a lot of her older siblings have gotten married and have children of their own. This is one of the grandchildren, Al Mickey, and he has a new baby brother now. His mom texted me a photo. And that's Bialrana. She's the oldest sibling. She has 5 kids, and now, well, she had 5 kids. She's 6 now. And there's a friend in the picture who's helping out. Usually they don't give their children names until they are around 2, so they can see their personality first and give them a name that suits them. So they were just calling their youngest girl Dada, which means youngest girl. There's more pictures of the Minsong family. We did some origami with paper I brought. I showed them how to make cranes, and they showed me how to make boats, and Dada Full made a beautiful flower, which I have in my room now. And there's the grandmother with many generations in the kitchen. Here's the outside of the house, and then their cat meowing in the greenhouse, and then their yard looking up at the church. So here we are walking to the school with cows, and there's at the bottom there's the school with maybe 300 children outside. So also at school we did a quilting project that Maureen from Pittsburgh brought. The kids worked together in small groups to piece together the friendship quilt that is going to hang at their school. So Yumin has indirectly helped to support the lower primary school. There's a picture, there's one of the lower primary school classrooms that we were in. You can't see in the picture, but there's a TV in front, and we were watching Old MacDonald Had a Farm music thing. So funds that we raised at Yumin helped build this classroom, and also bought the propane cooker, which was helpful because it replaced the old wood-burning cooker, which made too much smoke for their lungs, and that's in the school kitchen. So it's more healthy, you know, to not breathe in too much smoke. So also here's some pictures from the village. There's me by the sign for the Annie Margaret Barr Health Center. And there's me jumping with some kids outside. We also took a day trip to Nandrong nearby with most of the kids from the children's village to see the views. We walked across the bridge, we walked by the rice fields, it was very nice. And we stopped along the way to get some oranges, and there's a picture of Bari striking a deal with the people selling the oranges. And there's also Tenderson, the boy's dorm father in the picture. So there's more photos from Nandrong. There's me with some cows in the valley, and one of our sumo trucks got stuck in the mud, and it took us a while to get it out, but it was an adventure. So, and we stopped to play in the stream for a while. So I also wanted to talk about a young man in the village, Basha Boy Nongram. Unfortunately, he had passed away in December, and this was a big loss to their community. He was very involved with the youth and the music program at the church. He was also a carpenter and an actor in Kasi films, and this picture is a still from one of the films he was in. We visited with his family while we were there, and we also met a lot of his girlfriend's family. His family gave us necklaces, which is very sweet of them. So Yuman had raised funds for a heart operation that he needed, but he ended up passing away before the operation. The funds went to buy a keyboard and sound system for the church in his memory. And some of the funds also went to his younger brother, Lamson, who we met, to continue the carpentry business. So I brought along probably like thousands of beads that Ann Bender's friend had donated. And so we all made jewelry one night at the girls' home, and that was really fun. The girls ended up using all of the beads. There was like three left. So, and then they all wore their jewelry the next day, so they enjoyed that. Here's a picture of me with Sanimon. Michelle Lee Brickissel had sponsored her to go to college, and she's studying zoology. So I made this scrapbook of life in America and, you know, life at Yuman and of my family ahead of time to give to the children's village. And so they ended up putting that in the library at the girls' home. So I had tried to write the captions in Kasi, and I had corresponded with Sanimon by email before the trip, and she was helping me translate the captions into Kasi. So it was really nice to finally meet her in person on the trip. So I know it's small, but there's a picture that I put in the scrapbook that I took of our kids from Yuman holding up signs that say Kublai, which means hello, thank you, and God bless. So, and that went, I showed this to the scrapbook to the kids at the village. So finally, I am so grateful to Yuman and to the UUPCC, UU Partner Church Council, for helping to sponsor me to go on this trip. I think the best partnerships are built on personal relationships, and so I hope we can continue visiting Mausundry and sending young people there or people of all ages and sponsoring people from their community to visit us for years to come. Thank you.
I have a few reflections of my own. I'm Valerie Davis, Sophie's mom. I was also invited to go on this trip to India, not necessarily by Sophie, but it all worked out. We had a great time together and shared memories to last a lifetime. When we first set out there, I had it in my mind that I was just there in a support role to support Sophie in her journey. But after we got there, it turned out that this trip was as impactful and important to my spiritual journey as to Sophie's, and this was something I was not expecting. The most overwhelming aspect to me about the trip was the sense of familiarity. I had taken another trip abroad a couple years ago with my daughter Lara and her college class to Russia, and I did feel some familiarity there since my grandparents, who had lived with us, were Russian. So I was pretty used to the food and even to a lot of the culture. But in India, it was more familiar in a spiritual or religious sense. I had grown up Jewish near Boston, and the synagogue associated with my Jewish school was Orthodox. I had plenty of friends in Brooklyn, too, and I visited there often. Saturdays, the Sabbath, was a sacred time for eating, visiting, schmoozing, walking from house to house, doing this all day, along with a little praying. And there's no TV, no touching anything electronic, no driving in cars, no distractions. Think Amish. So even before we got to the village in India, I was starting to have deja vu. Sophie told you about the meeting we had in the city with Clure and the grandsons of the founder of the Kasi Unitarians. Sophie had asked them what they thought were the similarities and differences between Kasi Unitarianism and American Unitarian Universalism. They were pretty aware of the differences and said that their religion actually seemed closest to Judaism. And I thought, yes, I can totally see that. Kasi Unitarianism is theistic, close to its Unitarian roots from the late 1800s, and focused on one God in a way through prayer that was very familiar to me. Once we got to the village, we were warmly welcomed by the families. On all the days, but particularly on Sunday, in between the community meetings we attended, there was sacred time held for eating, visiting, schmoozing, walking from house to house, with time not a concern. The Sunday church services were casual and beautiful, with the building completely packed and a large communal luncheon served afterward. Sophie wanted me to mention a little bit more about how our partner church community functions as a church community. The church itself is primarily lay-led. They do have a part-time minister, Darahoon, but she also serves seven other churches. Nangroy, Bari's husband, is a minister, and he fills in a lot as a volunteer. His primary job is as a teacher at the school. The village is small, close-knit, takes care of its own orphans. Just over the hill in neighboring Unitarian Kurong, we heard firsthand about a house the villagers had built for a family who was struggling financially. I just want to end by saying that the UUPCC, UU Partner Church Council in St. Louis, Missouri, organizes these trips to India and all over the world every year, and the next one to India will be in March. Sophie and I truly felt that this was the trip of a lifetime. And it's an experience that continues for us because of the wonderful relationships we've formed with the village families. Just last week, Sophie heard again from Miss Korda, one of the Minsong daughters, and I recently heard from the dorm father and Bari. There were people of all ages, from youth to retired folks on our trip, and there were two sets of us traveling as families. So if you are at all interested in what you've heard here today and are at all thinking about considering possibly maybe going someday, please check out our Kasi Hills bulletin board out in the foyer and speak with Michelle Liebergissel, right over there, who is chair of our partner church committee here. Kublai, thank you.